The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people!
Yes!
Yes!
What? They want. The champ will be here. Terrence Crawford joins us later, but we start the show with the game in Brooklyn last night. Steph Curry absolutely on fire. It's not how many threes he makes. Mm-hmm. It's where he makes them from. He doesn't shoot from the line anymore. He hit 9 threes yesterday, and the Warriors won by 18, but it felt like more than that.
So the elephant in the room is, remarkably, a couple of years after losing Kevin Durant and not making the playoffs in both seasons, the Warriors have rebuilt themselves into the best team in basketball right now.
Right now.
Clearly a championship contending favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nets proved to me what I said at the beginning of the year. They ain't winning the East without Kyrie.
They have problems. The Nets have problems.
Okay, and I didn't say finals. I said East without Kyrie. If I'm James Harden, if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm on the phone with him last night. Like, I know you watched the game. We need you, dog. We need you. And so, again, you and I talked about hoping. Nobody knows. Hoping that Kyrie Irving would get vaccinated.
I would assume by now that he would have gotten vaccinated.
And we thought and we hope that the holiday season, since it's here, he's going to consider after last night's game, because Steph Curry, not only did he make threes, he made 9 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the almost 40th time in his career he's done that, right? And the opposing crowd was chanting for him to shoot the ball.
Wild.
What about the one time?
Wild.
What about the one time when it's at the end of the play and he just basically tossed it up from the hash mark and it was good? I can't lie. I was watching the game like, Steph, the best player in basketball.
I had KD as the best player in basketball last night. I changed my opinion as well. It's in my notes. I was like, I think Steph's the best player in basketball right now. I had KD. I had Giannis ahead of Steph.
Coming into
I have
the season.
Steph right now
yes.
as the best player in basketball.
And by the way, shout out to Bob Myers, their GM, and Steve Kerr, because they made the moves. They did the drafts. And also a holdover anchor like Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you really watch the Golden State Warriors play, his defense, his leadership, his dribble handoffs, all of that is what makes that thing go. And Wiggins play well.
Yep.
And so I like what Jordan Poole playing well. And so, like, this is legit what we're seeing from that team.
Well, we decided that Steph was the best player in basketball last night. And after the game, Kevin Durant himself had something to say about Steph Curry. Let's listen to KD after the game.
Me, I've been there. He put in a ton of work. He cares about the game, he loves his teammates, plays with energy, you know, so that's what you get, you know, every night is a player like that, playing at all-star, well, MVP, Hall of Fame level, you know, you got to respect it.
I'm going to bring this back to Kyrie. That's what you get every night, he says about Steph Curry. Not saying that about Kyrie Irving.
Here's the thing, like, nobody can deny the all-time greatness of Kevin Durant. I'm not foolish. Like, the guy's 6'11", he can do it all. We know that he's an unstoppable force in the game. But what I'm seeing is what I saw going into the season. The Nets are not winning just because they have him.
Mm-mm.
And by the way, did we mention James Harden's performances this year?
You have James Harden and Kevin Durant. You have to get more than 43 points out of those two combined.
So let's talk about James Harden. I just don't like what I'm seeing from him this season. I know that I've seen a couple of moments where he had triple doubles or flirted with triple doubles or high 20-point games. I think he cracked 30 a couple of times. But I'm talking about, I don't know if it's health-wise that he doesn't want to tax his hamstring because he feels like he may pull it. Because being in the arena, I saw him moving, and I saw him having conversations about that. So I'm going to put that out there first. But if that's the case, then he should sit out.
sit down and get
based
right.
Based on what I'm seeing.
He's not right.
Right. Because are they going to look that bad when Joe Harris don't play? Right?
Joe Harris is the key. And, you know, back to the Warriors, one of the scariest things about this start that they have is Klay Thompson has been cleared for 5-on-5. Right now, he's out on this road trip. He's back in the Bay. He's rehabbing. He's playing 5-on-5 with a bunch of guys and coaches. I don't know, his brother or something, but... Jalen, they're going to add Klay soon. He's going to be back by Christmas.
Dog, life is about decisions. And you can never second guess a future Hall of Famer like Kevin Durant because he made a great decision in his mind to go to Golden State.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that paid off? With two championships. But the second year, we all felt he was leaving because he was unhappy there. But the other thing is because that was never going to be his team. That was going to always be Steph Curry's team. So now you go to the Nets. Imagine leaving the arena last night. The team that you left is just as good without you and better than the team you currently play on, and you're a player, you're paired up with James Harden and Kyrie. Not a good feeling.
Well, Giannis made a decision to stay in Milwaukee. That decision paid off.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something interesting that he had to say to GQ as he was on the cover. He had the following, and I quote, "One challenge was to bring a championship here, and we did. It was very hard, but we did. Very, very hard. I just love challenges. What's the next challenge? The next challenge might not be here." Jalen, after winning a championship, after signing an extension, how does he go to GQ and sort of talk about not playing in Milwaukee?
You know how much I love KRS-One.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I went to class and he was the teacher. And he once had a song, "You ever think about when you out of here?" That's what I thought when I saw those quotes. Because
I was shocked.
He didn't have to go there.
He just won a chip.
He did not have to go there. But here's the second thing I want to enlighten you with. This is also the carrot that you put over the organization to let them know, y'all keep adding and building this team. You know what I mean? Y'all keep building this team because I will bounce. This is not, oh, Dirk won it once later in his career and retired.
Oh, yeah.
He won it while he in his prime.
Prime.
So he like, y'all keep building this roster. Ultimately, though, I think the character of Giannis and how he said that he wanted to approach his career, I think as long as they continue to build the team, that prevails. And that thought was that he enjoys being in Milwaukee for the long term.
He just signed an extension. So if I'm a Milwaukee Bucks fan, I'm like, we got a few more years of Giannis regardless.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Like,
no doubt.
Giannis doesn't seem like the type who's going to, you know, Ben Simmons the situation.
Right, right.
With four more and $200 million left on his deal.
But I got something for you. I mean, like, if you look around the landscape of the league, I mean, there isn't a shortage of teams that we can put Giannis on the squad and be like, oh, my God, that would be something special.
No.
Look in Miami. Look in Dallas.
Dallas.
Like we can find them some parking spots. But ultimately, when I have the remote control watching League Pass, I would much rather watch the best players play against one another like you do at the park. You know, when you go to the park, young people, well, people don't even play outside no more. You realize NBA players don't even play outside no more?
Never.
That is crazy.
Well, you don't play outside either.
Well, I just played outside recently with you. That's not true. But the best players, then they go to the park, they pick teams. So I'm hoping, like Dame Lillard, who didn't win a championship, Giannis continues to stay in Milwaukee past these 2 years.
Well, I mentioned Ben Simmons, and they miss him on the Sixers. Joel Embiid is also out. And they got waxed by the Jazz.
Well, you can't win without your best players. I mean, Rudy Gobert was out there blocking everything. Bogdanovich was playing well. And so you don't have Joel Embiid. You don't have Ben Simmons. It's going to be long nights when you go against some of the top teams in the league.
Mm-hmm. And the Jazz look pretty good. You know, the Jazz are well known as a regular season team that stumbles in the playoffs. But that can't be the case year after year after year. 1 year, they're going to make a run in the playoffs, and perhaps it's this year.
Well, this may be their chance. And again, the Golden State Warriors have etched themselves into the conversation of Western Conference favorite. But there are a lot of other teams still soul searching. To me, the Utah Jazz are one of those main catalysts, depending on health.
I have something to tell you, Mr. Rose. I'm spin this. I'm glad Michigan lost to Seton Hall. I'm glad Michigan lost Seton Hall. Remember last season when Michigan jumped out the gate with those big wins early on and everything? Number one, weren't they ranked number one at one point?
Yes.
Well, guess what? Eye-opening loss to Seton Hall. I think this helps them ultimately.
I do too, because here's the deal, and I'll speak from a player's perspective, and I'm pretty sure Juwan said that to his team. You know what preseason rankings mean? Nothing. Because you haven't seen the teams play.
Mm-hmm.
We might look up at the end of the year and Seton Hall actually is really good. We don't know.
We'll see.
So right now we're calling it an upset, right? And I agree with you. And shout out to my brother Juwan Howard. You know what just happened? You know what just happened?
What just happened?
Juwan Howard inked a 5-year extension to stay as the head basketball coach at the University of Michigan.
Good for him. For the program.
Now just think about this. There was once a time where we weren't acknowledged by the university or the NCAA. That's what I call outliving your circumstances. And I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the University of Michigan. And I'll be at the game soon. Hail to the victors.
Congratulations, Juwan. Jalen.
What up, though?
Who is joining us in mere minutes?
The champ is here. Terrence Bud Crawford, ahead of his big fight this weekend, joins Jalen and Jacoby next.
Universally recognized as pound for pound among the best in the world.
He is in the hurt business. His trade is pain.
We have enormous news from boxing. Undefeated Terrence Crawford will face
Showtime John Porter.
I have a combination of things that no one he's been in the ring with has had.
Terrence, after November 20th, what will the boxing world be saying?
That's the reason why he's pound for pound, number one fighter in the world.
To you live from the Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby.
The champ is here.
WBO welterweight champion Terrence Crawford joins the show. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
You have a huge fight against Sean Porter. You also at welterweight are 5-0 with 5 knockouts. Are you going to continue the knockout streak?
Let's see. Let's hope so. You know, I never go in there looking for the knockout. But if the knockout come, I most definitely would be taking it.
Bud, I'm a huge fan. We both are. Been following your entire career. And we know stepping in with Showtime Sean Porter, he's a tough, rugged, physical fighter. What is your strategy to slow him down?
Well, just be me. You know, go in there and be myself. We got ourselves a game plan. And, you know, we're looking to go in there and execute it.
All right, now, Porter is very aggressive. He pushes forward, he puts pressure, tries to make it into an ugly fight. What are you going to do to counter that?
Like I said, we got our game plan, and, you know, I'm going to execute that, and, you know, we're going to secure this victory.
Hey, Bud, I like to see you getting checks in and out of the ring, and it's great to see you doing your media thing, but I think part of you doing the media thing because elite fighters have been avoiding you. Have you felt the same way?
Of course, you know, I feel a lot of top fighters have been ducking me by the reason that I'm with Top Rank and they with PBC and all these different sides of the streets, and that just gave them a out. But, you know, me and Sean Porter, you know, we here now, and Sean Porter don't duck any fighters. So, you know, therefore, me and him is fighting.
So, I know you won't say it, but I'm going to say it. You're going to beat Sean Porter this weekend. And then I'm looking at an Errol Spence Jr. fight. Will we see that fight after this one?
I don't know. I can't promise you that.
He can't promise you that, Jacoby. That's the point that he's trying to make. That's the question that he just asked. You see Bud throw them hands? So Bud, I have to ask. So, like, being back in the ring, being undefeated, how important is it for you to reestablish the undisputed pound-for-pound best fighter in the game after this performance?
Well, just keep doing what I'm doing, man. like all the other things, you know, I can't worry about. I got to worry about the task at hand, and that Sean Porter and everything else will follow suit.
One thing I always love about you is you always rep for your city, often on your trunks. How important is it you to rep for Omaha, Nebraska?
It's very important, being that, you know, there's no boxer that came out of Omaha, Nebraska, like me. You know, world champion, 3 different weight class, undisputed, fighter of the year, you know. So we always perceive as being a walkover. You know, when somebody fight somebody from Omaha, you know, they just off the rip, like, oh, I got this in the bag, you know. And I'm trying to show the little kids coming up under me that, you know, you can make it in whatever sport, either it's boxing, basketball, football, rapping, whatever you want to do, you can make it. You just got to put the work in and you'll be on your way.
How does it test your discipline knowing that you're considered the best in the game, yet the business sometimes gets in the way of you fighting other top fighters?
Well, that's any business. When you think about it, you know, you have certain people that play basketball that feel like they better than this guy, and this guy getting all the praise or getting the checks. Mm-hmm. Politics is a big factor in everything, not just boxing.
So we are just days away from the fight. How do you physically prepare for this? Have you sort of toned down your training? What are you going to do in the days right before the fight?
Oh, I just shake out a little bit, you know, do me a little real light jog, and just sit around and just wait.
Hurry up and wait. So, Bud, I have to ask you, ring appearance, are there going to be anything special entering the ring? What kind of music we coming out to? What music you listening to in the gym right now while you training?
That's something you got to wait and see. I can't still.
You got to pay. That's why they got pay-per-view for that.
Exactly. Well, good luck this Saturday fight against Sean Porter. You're always welcome to come back here. We're huge supporters of yours.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be back on Challenge Jacoby right after this.
The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again. The Greek Freak is a Greek NBA champion.
Milwaukee, we did it, baby! We did it!
How ready do you feel for you and the Bucks to have a repeat run?
Whatever having the best is in the past, gotta focus on now. Tenacity mixed with my self-control ensures that I have a boss of a champion on this road. Are we satisfied? I'm not satisfied.
Double header tonight on ESPN. It is the Lakers traveling to Milwaukee to take on Giannis and the Bucks, and then in the nightcap at 10 p.m. Porzingis and the Mavs take on the Western Conference champion Suns. It's all preceded by Jalen Rose in a suit on NBA Countdown at 7 p.m. Mr. Rose, I wrote off the Clippers this year. No Kawhi Leonard. I wrote them off. I didn't have them in contention. I had them on the edge of a play-in or a playoff situation. Well, guess what? Paul George is putting in work, and he continued that last night against the Spurs with 34 points.
See, perception sometimes isn't reality. And when you're the best player on a franchise like James Harden, Anthony Davis, or Paul George was in Indiana, there's a perception of you with that team.
Mm-hmm.
When you make up your mind for whatever reasons, I'm an all-star, I'm an all-NBA player here, but yet I want to go somewhere else to actually win a championship, that's what changes the narrative on a great player. So now for Paul George, when he ends up in OKC and then all of a sudden gets traded for so many picks to join with Kawhi at the Clippers, it's like, well, we need to see y'all in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get to the bubble and all of a sudden Dame Lillard shoots them down and shoots them out of the playoff, that becomes a narrative. And so he had to rehabilitate his leadership within not only his locker room without Kawhi, but also his confidence as a player that I can be the best player on a winning team again. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And be healthy. And so that's what I'm seeing, a level of confidence. And Ty Lue talks a lot about this. Staying in the moment. That's what I see him doing. You can't worry about winning the first round, the second round, the third round. They have to play well enough so that if Kawhi is healthy, he'll come back.
Exactly. It just simplifies things without Kawhi. Paul George looks around at the roster. He's like, all right, we got Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson. I'm taking the shots. You know, it just simplifies things for him. He's performed really well. Jalen, Pelicans are not performing really well.
No.
Pelicans have won 2 basketball games this season, and we're like a month in. But there's some good news. Zion Williamson will be participating in contact drills and one-on-one workouts. Will he fix this broken team?
I'm happy for Zion, and here's why. I believe Zion is the most productive, unpolished diamond in the entire NBA. Here's a man that averages, let me say this right, like 27 or 28 points on 60% field goal percentage, and he ain't even truly got in shape yet.
No.
And learned how to dominate yet. I think now when he returns, the thing that I'm going to expect to see from him is defensive tenacity. See, that's been a problem with their team.
We saw it at Duke. Remember all those blocks at Duke?
Correct, but it's different blocking college kids and NBA men. And I used to say this about Blake Griffin as a player. Like, you see a player use their athleticism to dunk, but not necessarily to block.
Yeah.
That's what we hope to see from Zion.
Rim protection has always been a problem for this Pelican team with Zion, and Valanciunas isn't helping. Jackson Hayes doesn't play enough. They really need Zion to help play defense around the basket.
And
everybody talks about Zion. All they talk about is his weight. That's all people talk about. But there were flashes last year where you're watching the Pelicans and you're going, is this the future of the league right here with Zion?
Well, respectfully, because he's a bull in a china shop. And if they want to just talk about his weight, I'll give him 2 other things to talk about that have nothing to do with Duncan. Number one, Zion got a handle. I've been telling people this since college. And number two, Zion's a really good passer.
He really is.
You know what I'm saying?
We didn't see that his rookie year. We started to see it last year.
Yes.
They started – he had the ball and people were setting screens. He was not setting screens in the pick and roll. That seems to work. And I hope that Willie Green can unlock some of that magic because this Pelicans team, early on in the –
Look at the Pelicans, bro!
I'm already looking at them like they're not making the playoffs.
See y'all
tomorrow. It's still November. We'll be back.
4 p.m.
We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guest. Right now, we still have the champ, WBO welterweight champion, Terrence Crawford. Now, our producers did a little research on you, and there's some online videos of you talking trash about your hoop game. You still getting it in on the court?
Man, I'm still trying to play Jalen one-on-one. I told him that.
Let's do that. Let's do that.
He cheats. He's just going to push you over, dog. He cheats. You ain't right. You haven't seen this man play basketball. He plays basketball like an offensive lineman.
Hey, Bud, what is fight week like for you? Like, for the fans, we get a chance to see you hop into the ring, stay undefeated, and do your thing hopefully this weekend. But, like, what is fight week like for you just leading up into a big fight?
Well, fight week is, you know, we get here, we get settled in. We shake out a little bit, you know, and we just rest. You know, we do all the media tours and press conferences and weigh-ins. But for the most part, we just resting, getting our mind right, getting dialed in and knowing what we're going to do come fight night and just keep that focus on.
Now, Sean Porter said he's the only one in the world that can beat you, which is kind of a compliment, but kind of not. What's your reaction to that statement from Porter?
If that's how he feel, you know, he's going to have to show me Saturday.
Love that.
I ask you this on the show, but I want to go back to this. So while you're in training this week, what music are you listening to? What artist?
I don't know. I'm listening to a mixture of artists. I got flow, I got R&B, I got rap, I got jazz. I listen to a variety of music, you know, so it's not like one in particular artist that I'm listening to. You know, a lot of old school for the most part.
So, you know, it seems like you have a lot of downtime as you prepare for this fight, and I know you've turned your attention to other sports like the NBA and NFL. What we have some images of you in Packers gear. Are you a Packers fan?
Of course.
Right. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers? You're basically saying this is his last year in Green Bay.
Man, we need to do what we need to do to keep that man. You know, you see every time he out of the game, you know what I mean, how we play, you know, and I don't think, you know, anybody gonna fulfill his shoes. So, you know, for the most part, we a championship team right now, you know, and you take him out of it, our whole, you know, franchise is look like it's going down here.
I believe that he's going to continue to play well, so very well that he stays. That's what I hope. I think that situation is so very good, and I'm hoping for you and Packer fans that he stays. But I had to ask you a question. One of my favorite movies is Belly. I don't know if you've seen the movie or heard about the movie or heard about it too many times, but when New Yorkers went to Nebraska,
That wasn't even Nebraska, man.
Tell me about this. How do you feel about that?
That movie wasn't even shot in Omaha, man. Come on, man.
I forgot about that. Well, also being from Nebraska, you obviously have a college team to root for, but there's no true sort of like NBA team that's really in the immediate area. So what NBA team are you a fan of?
Lakers.
Okay.
You got to get LeBron healthy.
How you feel about this Lakers sort of stumbling out of the gate?
Man, they need to get it together. You know, I like Golden State too, but I've been a Lakers fan ever since Magic, you know, since I was little. You know, and that's just been my team since day one.
Hey, with Bud, or without LeBron. Exactly. Hey, Bud, growing up, who are some of your favorite fighters to watch?
I like to watch a lot of Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Leonard, Sweet Pea, Marco Antonio Barrera. I watched a little bit of Chavez. But for the most part, man, I watched all the fights. Like my coach.
Fight was on, my I'm coach watching.
My coach used to just come and get me and just make me watch nothing but boxing tapes when I was little, so... You know, that's something that I was used to doing, is just watching fights. It got so bad that when I watch too many fights, or if a fight come on, I'll try to watch it, I'll just fall asleep.
Well, we look forward to watching you put Sean Porter to sleep this weekend, and we're always going to be supporting you here on Jalen Jacoby. You're welcome to come back anytime.
Thanks a lot, Bud.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
I want to thank Terrence Crawford joining us on the program days before his big fight. You do a really good impression of that sound effect.
I love that.
You do a really good impression of that sound effect.
The first time I heard it was like Michael Jackson, I think.
The Thriller video?
Yeah.
I was shook of the Thriller video, but I needed it to come on. I remember just sitting on my couch watching MTV, waiting for the Thriller video to come on, and then being scared of it once it came on.
Remember actually waiting to watch videos come on?
Oh, man. Like,
to watch MTV? TV shows?
No, I used to watch MTV. Just if I was awake, dope. I was watching MTV. MTV, for people that are listening, that if you're under 30,
that was so fun.
MTV had such an influence over the culture. It's where I fell in love with hip hop.
Freeze, David.
Yo, MTV Raps.
Yes.
That's where I fell in love with hip hop. Children's Story, Rick the Ruler.
Freddy.
Rick the Ruler Children's Story was like the first hip hop song that I was really just like,
Uncle Ricky.
I was like, this is new. You know what I did? Let me tell you what I did.
Wow, you ready for this? Hold on.
Let me tell you what I did.
Okay.
There was a assignment from a student teacher in, like, I think it was like third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen to a song and write down all the lyrics. So I grabbed a Walkman and I wrote down every single word to Children's Story.
Uncle
every
Ricky.
Single word. I think it was fourth grade. You know how hard that is? No, you're a rock and roll song, it's easy. But writing down, stopping and rewinding and then playing and then writing down every single word to Children's Story, that's when I fell in love with hip hop.
You know what's crazy about that?
No.
When did that song come out?
No idea. I'm
going to guess. Early 90s?
No, 80s. No. I'm going to guess like right around 90.
Well, I guess I am older than you.
Yeah, that I'm going to guess 88. We can look it up. We do have miniature computers in our hands, so you continue and I'll look it up.
All right. Let's do that.
Okay. Well, this song came out, obviously, by Slick Rick. Let's see right here.
MC Ricky D.
It came out in, how come I can't find that? Who's saying it? Reg, when did it come out? 88 is when Children's Story came out.
So, by the way, you ready for this as we talk about Slick Rick? I have a classic what if. I always had these in sports. Like, what if Shaq and Kobe played together longer? What if
Grant Hill never got
hurt? What if Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady would have teamed up in Orlando?
What if Chris Paul got traded to the Lakers?
What if KD would have stayed with the Warriors?
What if KD would have stayed with the Thunder?
I got one in music for y'all. A lot of people don't know this, and Rez the Ledge, hit the brakes on this. Did you guys know the only songs that Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh did together were The Show and Lottie Dottie? Did y'all realize that?
I want, see, if I get success like that, we gotta catch an L before I'm out. You know what I mean? We're gonna keep riding this. We're gonna keep riding this.
Anybody that knows anything about music, let me repeat what I just said. The only records that legends, icons, my brothers did together, Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh, were all-time classics, Lottie Dottie and The Show.
Like, I think my mom knows Lottie Dottie. You know what I mean?
Beatbox, rap, no hook. No,
I love Slick Rick. If you're under 30, just Google Slick Rick right now. Play the, look, Snoop didn't write Lottie Dottie.
No.
You know what I mean? You probably think Snoop wrote Lottie Dottie. Go listen to Lottie Dottie
I
right now.
I just saw somebody doing an interview recently. I think it was Ice Cube that said Slick Rick is the best storyteller in the history of rap. And I agree.
I like Nas too. Slick Rick and Nas to me.
Nasir Jones.
And also,
Brad Jordan. I ain't mad at that,
Demetrius. Ghostface Killah, too. When Ghostface really wants to get into the storytelling mode, he can.
You ready for this? I'm going to get Ghostface Killah on this program.
This program?
As he and my brother, Raekwon the Chef, Wu-Tang Clan, have a project coming out. I might even go see them in Detroit in a couple of weeks.
You know I don't like live music, but I would go to that show. I would go see Raekwon and Ghost. I would definitely go to that
show. I'm going to reach out today.
So let me tell you a story.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you a story. So you remember what I think it's called Encore, the Jay-Z behind the scenes show at the Garden, which is supposed to be his last show, but
what
we all knew
the hell
it wasn't his last
waiting
show.
For?
I got paid $400 to be a cameraman for that movie. First of all, underpaid.
Yeah, they
underpaid.
Yeah.
Like they used like 10 minutes of my footage and made a movie out of it.
Marginalized.
Yeah, I got paid $400, dog. So I'm backstage and Ghostface is about to go on stage. Slick Rick stops him. Literally about to walk up the stairs to the stage, and I'm behind the scenes.
We're not worthy. We're
not
worthy.
And I'm filming this.
We're not worthy.
And two people were just talking about. Slick Rick stops him. He's on his way up the stairs, and then Slick Rick takes off all of his jewelry.
Rick
and
the Ruler
puts it on Ghostface right before Ghostface goes on stage. And I'm supposed to be a professional cameraman, and I'm supposed to be dead silent, but I couldn't help myself. And if you watch this film,
you on audio?
If you watch this film, you can hear me be like, whoa. I don't even know what I didn't even say a word. I just made a sound as I was filming it. I just couldn't help myself. Y'all owe me some money, whatever production company that was. I want my money. $400. Please. Big shout out to Kevin Wilds, who's also a cameraman, but his job was to shoot the crowd. I got the backstage job. I got the good straw on that one. Jalen Joe Flacco's gonna be the starting quarterback for the Jets.
They're in trouble. They gotta put somebody out there.
Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with the G. Jalen, what number do we need people to call right now?
985-80-JALEN. That's right, IG Live. You too. Call 985-80-JALEN. Hopefully the volume is working.
If
guess what?
What?
I gotta tell you something.
No, Darrell.
I got Darrell
Revis.
Phone. See, so y'all clown me for not having a phone. I got a new
I can't.
Oh.
For those listening, so many times I was like, Jalen, there's an Apple store like three blocks away. Let's go right now.
Nah, dog. Let's get lunch, dog. Nah, dog.
Finally got a new phone.
I got a new.
He couldn't even set it up himself. Him and Troy had to spend like 3 hours before we flew to Doha to get it. Don't worry. We're fine, D. Play the voicemail, please. 95.8 Jalen.
What up, y'all? This is Corey from the Bay. Shout out, Reg. First time caller, long time listener. I got two questions for y'all. The first question is, I'm going to be a father coming up in December for the first time. Is there any advice for a first time dad you got for me? I'll take any advice at this point. Second question is, my lovely wife, I have to know, is this cultural or regional? My wife is mixed. She's half black, half white. Whenever I cook a steak, if it be a T-bone, a ribeye, sirloin, she likes her steak cooked well done and with ketchup. Is that cultural or regional? Because I've been trying to get it out of her. I'm trying to show her the ways of how to properly eat a steak, but she ain't listening to me. Just get any advice. I just need to know. Thanks, y'all. Shout out, Reg. Shout out, Jalen. Shout out, Jacoby.
Okay. First of all, let's start with the new father.
Shout to Corey from the Bay Area.
Got a lot of advice. I can go on for hours and hours and hours, but I'm going to break it down to two very simple things, right? Number one, don't lose sight of the relationship with your lady. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you get so caught up in the baby, but like, you can still go on date night. Baby's gonna be fine. You know what I mean? You still gotta water that plant that is the love that created this child. Second of all,
great point.
Baby's gonna be fine. When you have your first kid, you're so concerned.
Oh my goodness.
It's like the baby's made of like thin glass. You know what I mean? You're reading all the books about health and you're trying to get everything perfect. Baby's gonna be fine. Look around the world. There's millions of people out here. You know what I mean? Not everyone was raised with the delicacy and the care that you raised right. The first kid. The baby's gonna be fine. Don't overthink it. Don't overdo it. You know what I mean? You don't have to read any books. Just keep the thing alive. Guess what? Feed it, change it,
love,
wash it,
time,
let it sleep. There's three things.
Attention.
If it's crying, look, they want to be changed, they want to sleep, or they want food. That's it. If you've done all those things, the baby's crying, it's on the baby, not you.
And I got something else for you, Corey. That's great advice by Jacoby. For me, and I guess I'll challenge our audience to do this too. If you're going to be a first-time dad, that means you got to do something that you have never done. You got to make a sacrifice that you have never done. For me, I stopped cursing. And I also stopped playing music that had vulgar lyrics in it for my young infant daughter at the time to hear. So here's what I did. Play instrumentals.
Yep.
Play your instrumentals, because whatever they consume is what they're gonna think about, is what they're gonna say, and you might not want your 3, 4, 5-year-old, as they start to progress, to be reciting the lyrics of the infamous Mobb Deep's first album.
Now, when it comes to the steak, Jalen can't give you any advice because he likes his well-done too. I started off as a well-done steak guy. I understand. But as you get older, as you mature, as your palate matures, you understand that the meat is best at medium, medium rare. Mm. And another thing about me.
Rare?
Another thing, people are always like, oh, the steak is so good. You only need salt and pepper. I'm like, I don't care. All right, Mr. Chef, I know you're fancy and everything, but I want some pepper sauce. I want some A1. I want some ketchup. I want some sauce, some sort of something to go with my steak. Another move I make, this is my move. I'll get a nice glass of red wine. Mm. I don't overthink the wine. I just tell the guy, I'm like, whatever you think pairs
any
with this
Pinot,
steak.
Any Pinot, any Cab, whatever you
and
got.
And I'll take a piece of steak and I'll put it in my mouth. And then while the steak is still in my mouth, I'll take a sip of wine and just get that mixture at the same time. Hey, let's go get some steak.
You're so sophisticated.
I don't know if you're supposed to. I don't know if that's sophisticated. soaking your steak in wine inside your mouth. I don't know if that's sophisticated. Something tells me etiquette class doesn't tell you to do that. Let's go get some steak, Jay. We will be back tomorrow with another Dope Pod of Step 2. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.